God has declared the glory will be poured out through a united body. Satan knows it, and he'll do anything he can to prevent that glory from being poured out. And so if he's going to stop the outpouring from being poured out and he knows it's coming through unity, what do you think he is going to do to try to prevent that outpouring? Bring in strife and division. In other words, what Satan wants to do to prevent that outpouring and what he's successfully done in revival after revival is he wants to stop covenant from being upheld. His goal is to prevent covenant. And so, for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what I have come to recognize as Satan's most heavy attacks against covenant. Having been walking in covenant for several years, immediately Satan tried to bust that up, tried to stop it. And there are certain attacks that I've noticed, and anybody that's been in this long has noticed, that he brings consistently against a person that set their heart to be in covenant. And so we're going to expose some of those tonight, one and specifically tonight, several over the next few weeks, of just how he would try to bring that division. Matthew chapter 12, start reading at verse 22. Then was brought unto him, Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David, meaning the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? But if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. And if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how shall one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Jesus here says, every kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. Amen. Now, we've got a great war going on between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. Is anybody with me tonight? A powerful war going on here. And Jesus right here gives the key to victory. Amen. He says the side that gets divided loses. Amen. Yeah. The side that stands in unity wins. And so what we have here is an effort of Satan through his forces to bring in division into the body of Christ so that he can maintain his position over the earth. At the same time, we've got the saints praying in the glory that will disrupt the forces of Satan, that will unseat the powers of Satan from their positions, create disruption and disarray in his kingdom and confusion so that we can stand in unity and he'll be routed. Amen. Did you know when you pray, you're creating division in the body of Satan? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Your prayers of intercession, your praying in tongues for extended period is literally causing confusion and disarray in the power in the realm of darkness.
Amen.
Yeah. Just driving them crazy. Why do you think Satan comes against your tongue so hard? He knows the key. He knows it. He knows division creates the loser. Unity proclaims the winner. And so he is working hard to stop your weapon, your tongues, from creating disarray in his kingdom. And at the same time, he's trying to bring in strife to bring disunity into the kingdom of heaven. Are you with me?
Yes.
Satan wants to stop covenant. And because he wants so hard to stop covenant, I believe his most potent attacks come when you decide to be a covenant individual. When you say, I'm going to walk in unity in the body of Christ, when I'm going to be locked in with this church, when I'm going to be immovable with this people, and I'm not going to get in disunity. When you make those decisions to do those four things we've been talking about the past few weeks, when you set your heart on that, get ready, because Satan's going to bring his most potent, lethal attacks against you. Say, Pastor Jack, are you exalting the devil? Are you exalting the demons, trying to lift them up? No, I want to expose them.
Yes.
I want to show to you what he does what his attempts are so that when it hits you, you'll recognize it.
Amen.
See, when these hit me the first time, I'd never had anybody proclaim this lesson to me.
Amen.
The one we're going to talk about tonight, I remember when it first hit me. What is going on? And only the grace of God took me through it. But see, tonight you're going to get some insight into what was going on. And many of you have already been through it, if not most of you. But it's going to bring recognition to some that are now and will in the future that when it hits you, you'll recognize that's what this is. And it'll help you get through it.
Amen.
Turn to 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were you not able to bear it. Neither yet are ye now able, for ye are yet carnal. Now get this, he says, verse 3. Ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men. It says here that where strife and division exists, you're carnal. In other words, you're in the flesh and you're in the soul realm. You're in the earthly aspects. We understand what the flesh is. It's the voice that says, I want a donut. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so if strife and envy are going to come in and division, it's going to come through either your flesh or your soul. And one of the main areas that Satan attacks you in is in your soul realm. Attacks against your mind.
Amen.
And attacks against, believe it or not, your emotions.
That's right.
Do you know Satan has the power to disrupt your emotions? Satan's attacks, because he wants to bring in division, to stop covenant, to stop the glory, will be targeted against your mind and emotions. He wants to create havoc in that. And the attack we're going to talk about tonight is one that works extremely strong in that area. Extremely strong. And it's the spirit of isolation. I have found the spirit of isolation to be the most wicked, the most vile, the most heinous of ever spiritual attack I've ever gone through. It is an extremely painful attack, and its attack, if you don't deal with it, will take you out of the body of Christ. See, you can fail on standing in faith against the flu. Get some penicillin, and in a few days you're okay. But if you fail against the spirit of isolation, you're out of here. I have seen person after person taken out by this devil. And as we unveil him tonight, as you understand and recognize the symptoms of this attack, it will help you stand in the body of Christ. His goal of the spirit of isolation is to separate individual people from the body of Christ. In a carnal church where people have never had covenant teaching or not receiving it, Satan doesn't have to bring this attack because all he'll do is bring in a rumor. It'll sweep through the gossip channels and divide the body in about 30 minutes. And so he doesn't have to go pick off one individual at a time. He'll just separate the two in one sweep. The reason you're not seeing that all the time is because most of the body is already so powerless, Satan's leaving them alone. But when a body makes a decision, they're going to walk in covenant. They're going to stay in unity. And you've decided that you won't allow those rumors to flow through, that you will not murmur. He cannot come in with a sweep of the hand and bring a division.
Amen.
So his only option is to focus on individuals and try to take them out one at a time. And that's the spirit of isolation's goal, is to target you. See, so I'm nobody. I'm just somebody in church. Satan wants to target you. Each one of you wants to target you with a spirit of isolation to make you feel like you're not part of the body.
Amen.
To make you feel like nobody likes you. Praise God for His redemptive power.
Amen.
Isolation ties closely to rejection. It's very similar. But rejection is usually focused on one individual. It's like, she doesn't like me, or he doesn't like me, or those three over there, they don't like me. Amen? True or untrue? That's what rejection is. Isolation is so powerful, it may focus on just a few people, But it is so strong, the overwhelming effect is nobody likes me. And you'll absolutely stand there and think that there's not a single person in the entire church that thinks you're worthy to spit on. Serious. That if it were possible, they would kick you out of the body if they weren't so nice. I'm telling you what I've heard the devil tell me. Amen? And what we're going to get at tonight is how much of an absolute lie that is. Where rejection says that he or she doesn't like you, get this now, isolation says there's a conspiracy against you. Isolation devil comes and tells you that the whole body is working against you, that they've all gotten together to somehow get you out of here, to leave you out of everything that's going on. All right, does anybody recognize this symptom? Isolation will try to target you to be separated from the leadership, but it's so strong it carries over into every relationship you have in the body. It's absolutely such a powerful attack, it literally makes you dysfunctional. In other words, it keeps you from functioning in any realm. The spirit of isolation, that attack is so strong that when it hits you, you can't even go to work and work properly. All you can think about is how at church, how they don't like you. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? The pain carries you with you so strong that it seems like you can't even get through your day without misery. It's so strong that it's often joined by a spirit of suicide. I've never even been a thought in my mind as far as considering killing myself. Never. But I've had that devil tell me to. That isolation comes in and the pain is so strong and it's just like, well, you ought to just go drive off a cliff. Get it over with. Go see God now. They don't want you there anyway. And so it is one of the, as I mentioned, one of the most fierce attacks Satan has, because he's got to say he can bring in some little demonette and bring division in a carnal church. But he's got to use some powerful tools focused on one individual to take you out when you're in covenant. He's only got so many of these devils.
Amen.
See, like I mentioned, one little demonette can divide a carnal church, but he's got to specifically send one of his powers against you, a powerful spirit of isolation, to take you out of a covenant church. And this devil is so powerful that he takes with it many times a suggestion of suicide to end it all. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Not that you consider doing it, but you were sure hearing the voice telling you to. Amen. Psalm 27, let's start reading at verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. Listen now. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. The key point we want to make tonight, one of the key points, is the spirit of isolation is a total fabrication of Satan. 99% of the time when this devil hits you, it's 100% fabricated. Totally off the wall. And the people that you're thinking hate you, if you were to go to them and say, what have I done? They'd say, what are you talking about? It's an absolutely falsified lie. But at the time you're going through it, it seems so real. And it says he breathes out cruelty. I mean, in this attack, he's so able to manipulate your emotions that you are literally in despair at times. That you don't know which way to turn. And you think, well, they hate me. I'm used to being hated before. No, there's a pain that comes with it. There's an absolutely a tearing of your very innermost being, it feels like, it's take place. Because all of a sudden you feel like you're separated from the body. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When you're in this attack, you'll feel like you're going to pass out. Like you're just going to pass away, faint, right on the spot. And what many times all you can do is say, Lord, I'm holding on to you. Lord, I'm holding on to you. And you just wait on the Lord and let him take you through it. Amen. Now, we'll talk specifically towards the end on how to break this attack. It's one that if you know how to break it, it's done. It's a done deal. Amen. I know his weak spot. And once you have discovered his weak spot, he's a finished critter. But recognition is the key. Isolation is an attack not meant just to harass you, but to take you out permanently. Did you get that? See, so many of Satan's attacks are just harassing attacks. Just something to distract you, something to annoy you. A headache here, ingrown toenail there, flu, a bill that's not been paid, whatever. Somebody slamming into your car, whatever it is. Some attack just to try to get you off in the soul realm. Something just to get you, your mind off of God for a little bit. Get you to speak the wrong thing. Isolation is not like that. Isolation has one goal. One goal. Not to make you miserable. To take you out.
Amen.
To literally separate you from God. And it works over and over and over again for those that don't address it. An unchecked spirit of isolation will not go away. I said it will not go away. You've got to address it. The pain is too great. 1 Kings chapter 19. Here we have Elijah has just killed all the prophets of Baal. All of Jezebel's prophets. Amen. And it says he flees to Mount Horeb. So in chapter 19 verse 1 it says, and Ahab, has everybody got chapter 19? And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So what happens is Jezebel sends a messenger, Elijah, and says, you're dead meat. You got a day at best, I'm after you. Verse 3, and when Elijah saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father's. Here we have Elijah is being hit with a spirit of fear. Spirit of terror, flees to Beersheba, and he says, Lord, take my life. Now go on over to verse 14. And it says, and he said, I've been very jealous, Elijah speaking, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Abel-Mohah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now, look what has happened. Elijah has fled. He's in fear. And he goes and he's seeking God, and God goes through about talking to him, about listening to the still small voice. And Elijah says, everybody has forsaken thy covenant. I'm the only one left. I'm all by my lonesome. Elijah here is being not only hit by a spirit of fear, he's being hit by a spirit of false piety, where he thinks he's the only one, and at the same time, it's coming with it is this isolation. I am left. We read before where he says, take my life, Lord. I'm the only one. Elijah here is proclaiming he wants to die. What's God tell him to do? He says, I want you to go anoint some kings. You're feeling it rejected. You're feeling in isolation. I want you to get out of this rut. Go lay hands on somebody.
Amen.
I want you to anoint this man as king over Judah. Anoint this man as king over Israel. And while you're at it, since you're wanting out of here, big boy, I got a replacement to take your place.
Yeah.
Go anoint Elisha to be your follower. And so when isolation comes, one of the goals is to take you out of ministry. He wants to keep you from anointing people. Keep you from laying hands on people. Keep you from fulfilling your call. Amen? And you'll have to go through that attack many times and do what God's called you to do. It's amazing. Get this. It is amazing Some of, if not the most powerful times I've ever felt I've ministered, have been in the midst or right after this attack. I've had this thing on my head where I thought everybody hated me. Where I had failed God, I'd failed the church, and didn't know why, but the devil was telling me that. And that if they could, they'd vote me out, and I'd say, God, it don't matter. I don't receive it. I gotta go preach here. I'm gonna preach with everything that's within me. And Father, I know you'll take care of it. And had the Holy Ghost explode all over me. Or even just have come out of the attack and think I'm just going to another service and have the glory hit what I was preaching. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
There is a release that comes with going through this devil. Now get, God isn't done there. He says, anoint Elijah. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. In other words, you're coming through this isolation and there'll be unity between Israel and Judah and they're going to slay the enemy.
Amen.
As you make a decision to go through this separating devil on your head, God's going to use you to bring unity in the body.
Amen.
And you're going to see instead of you being in division, you're going to wreak havoc in the host of the enemy.
Yes.
See, what Satan is trying to do in you will come back upon his head.
That's right.
If you'll just go through it.
Amen.
Verse 18. Get this. Now God throws this in at the end. He says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Just when Satan, now get this, just when Satan tells you you're the only one left, just when he tells you you're on your lonesome, whether it's because you think you're the only one left or that nobody likes you, the attack is the same. The goal is the same, to separate you.
Amen.
God says, don't fret, I got 7,000 left, hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. Now, to recognize the attacks of isolation, you need to know what he's talking to you. You need to, what are the symptoms of the attack of isolation? First of all, if you're getting hit with it, as I'm speaking, you already recognize it. But if it's one that you're saying, well, is this what I'm getting attacked with or is it not? It ain't.
Amen.
This one hurts. It may, as I mentioned, it may be the most painful attack I know. You know when you're getting hit with it. It's just a matter of recognizing, oh, that's it. But you know you're under attack. Isolation says to you, first of all, nobody likes you. Woe is me. I'm just poor on me by my lonesome. They don't like me. That ain't true. That's not true. We love you. And we like you. Oh, there may be a personality. There may be a personality conflict or two that would try to rise up in the body because people have different personalities. Let me give you a little hint right now. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
A little hint. Nobody has a personality that nobody likes. I mean, you could be the meanest person ever was. There'll be another mean person like you. But you guys are redeemed. You're born again, full of the Holy Ghost. You're not full of meanness. And everybody loves you. As I mentioned, there may be a personality conflict try to arise. But for a devil to sit there and tell you that you're all by your lonesome, nobody likes you, is an absolute lie. And we'd have to be plumb foolish to receive it. The problem is with this attack, the manipulation of the emotions comes in, that even though you know it's a lie, it seems so real because your emotions are doing loose. Isolation says to you, everyone despises you. They only smile to your face. In fact, to know this attack, if it's hitting you, if you're in a group of people, most likely in the church, and you're standing there and maybe you're talking to somebody, and over 20 feet away is another 3 or 4 people talking, spirit of isolation tells you and makes it so real, he says, they're talking about you. They're whispering about you. Notice the one glanced over this way? They know that you're falling short of the glory. That devil comes and says, they know that you're the one in the body holding back the outpouring of the glory. And they're over there cheering chili recipes. Let me give you another hint. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. You don't have to turn there. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. Hey, I got news for you. You indeed did fall short of the glory. But God has made up the difference. He's declared you righteous. And so if they're over there, you think they're talking about you falling short of the glory, rest assured they fell short too. Amen? And see, the devil's ideal attack, if he had enough devils, if he had enough devils, he don't. He'd put a spirit of isolation attack against everybody and have everybody thinking each other's falling short of the glory. Or that they have according to each other. This devil comes and tells you, there's a conspiracy to have services without you. If they could, they'd have secret meetings somewhere and not invite you. No, if you're one that might hold back the flow, you're the one that needs to get in that meeting to get a hold of the Word of God. Amen? So that's a lie of the devil. Comes in, they'd be better off if you were dead. They'd be better off. They'd be better off without you. Woe is me. Ought to just do what they want. Jump off the cliff. Hang myself. Then they'd mourn. Then they'd weep for me. Then they'd say, if only we hadn't conspired against him. You done killed yourself over nothing thinking they're going to mourn. See, y'all are laughing, but this is real. This is real. It's hilarious when you think about it, but at the time, it is so real. I've had times where I just knew that I was totally not a part. And then Satan come and say stupid stuff like, well, you know, you're really not meant for salvation. You're not one of the elect. You know, everybody knows that you're not going to make it. That's why they're over there talking without you, is because they know you're going to fall. Why get close to you? Praise God that we've got righteousness teaching now.
Yes.
See, when I was going through this stuff originally, I didn't know righteousness. And so when the devil would come and tell me how I was a flop, I'd go, oh yes. And I've given my all to him too. And they hate me so much. Praise God for the Holy Ghost to unveil things. The pain of isolation is, I don't know how to describe it. It's probably the most painful emotion I've ever gone through. It's like your entire life is turned upside down. You try to pray and you think, well, I'll just go seek God. I gotta get free of this. I'll just go seek God. I'll go pray. And you get in your prayer closet and for 3 hours you pray and all you do is meditate on the pain. You're getting, see, this devil is powerful. And while you're trying to pray, he's up there bringing more image after image, a battering ram, a hammering of image after image of how they rejected you. Highlighting where you think you're going to get a vision for God. All you can see is somewhere once again where another group was talking and you weren't invited. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so it's just an explosion. So that it is very difficult, unless you are mature in prayer, to pray effectively with this attack. Now, with this in mind, I want to interject. In preparing this lesson, I had some difficulty in doing it because it's been years since I've had this attack. Once you whip a devil, he don't come around.
That's right.
Once you get a hold of healing, he's out of there.
Yeah.
Once you get a hold of prosperity, he's a goner.
Amen.
Once you effectively put divine health in place, once you whip the spirit of isolation once or twice, he ain't coming back to mess with you. And I had to sit and recall the symptoms. Because I remember one of the most vile things I ever went through, but it's been a while back, and I had to think, now what was the things he was telling me? What was it that I was going through? Although I remember the pain very vividly. So the good news is understand, this is something that you're not going to have to get hit with a whole lot.
Amen.
But if you're a covenant individual, I'm convinced he will try it on you. There may be some exceptions, but by and large, he's going to try this attack on you. But once you learn to recognize him and you learn the solution to get free of it, he won't mess with you anymore. He's got a weak spot. He got a weak spot. Think about this. See, Goliath stands up on the hill with his big spear and his big shield proclaiming his power. Send me a man that we may fight. but he finds out you're proficient with the sling, he's going to go play tiddlywinks some other place.
Yes.
So rest assured, it is a victory that's lasting. Hallelujah. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians where Paul addressed the individual that was living in sin and the church was receiving him? He was living with his father's wife or something to that effect. And so Paul said, don't wait on me. Kick that fool out of the church. Don't be receiving that. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the man has repented by this time. He's repented, and Paul's telling them, don't keep him out. Let him back in if he's repented. You know, we're recreated righteous. The blood washes away that sin. Give him another shot. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, understand this guy's been kicked out of the body of Christ. He's really been isolated. Are you with me? I mean, this guy, when he sees him talking, and he and some voice says they're talking about you, he's right.
Yeah.
He knows genuine isolation. The problem is, and see, his emotion's going crazy. Here's the people he was close to. Here's the people that he shared meals with, that shared his life with.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, he's been kicked out. Think about the emotional flip-flops he's in.
Amen.
He's left his prior friends because he got in the church. Now his church friends had deserted him. This guy is on his lonesome.
Amen.
And Paul said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that his soul might be saved. So Paul understood once you send him, once you reject him, once you excommunicate him, there will be a process take place where he is going to be in misery, hopefully with the effect that it'll bring him back into the body. And it worked. The man's out there in isolation, nobody liking him. That's a painful thing not to be liked by anybody. And so he's come back in, he's had this pain of isolation. Amen? He knows what it's really like. The point I wanted to make is when you're being hit by the attack of isolation, you can't tell the difference. When you're being hit with an attack of isolation, it might as well be that they excommunicated you. The pain is so real. It feels so real. You know that the body'd be better off with you dead. It just the emotions are in that state. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I might not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man as this punishment, which was inflicted of many. He's talking about the punishment upon that one that sinned. So that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps, get this, here's the point I want to make, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. The spirit of isolation brings with it sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow. A grief sets in. I'm trying to make clear this pain. If you've been in it, you know what I'm talking about. But it might as well be that you went home for lunch one day and your mama spit on you and kicked you out. And that's what it feels like. That you've got no one to turn to. That you're all by your lonesome. And an interesting thing is we're in a revival church. Do you know the Spirit's not hitting people in the dead churches?
Right.
Not hitting them. It's hitting people in the revival churches.
Right.
And part of the despair is we're a people, now that we've heard the Word of God, we realize there's no place else we can go. I've had this attack hit, and if it were possible to go somewhere else, I'd have highly considered it. I'd have been out of there. A good chance. But there was no place else I could go.
Amen.
No place else to go. I already had a vision of revival. I'd already seen it in the Word. I'd already seen it by the Holy Ghost. And I says, Lord, it's me and you. I'm staying here. Something's got to give. Psalm 102. Let's start reading it, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. With the spirit of isolation is a loss of appetite. Amen. Now this prayer here is a prayer of somebody in total despair, not necessarily isolation. But the symptoms that we're going to read are the same. The things that you feel. And one is you just don't want to eat. You don't want to, you can't sleep. All you want to do is just somehow, if you could do it spiritually, if you could do it in God's will, you'd roll over and die. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just say, Lord, I just had it. I can't take anymore. It's literally an overwhelming feeling. Verse 5, by reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. Verse 6, key verse. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and I'm as a sparrow alone upon my house. The pelican and the owl were considered unclean animals. They were rejected animals. And that's the feeling, like you're an unclean thing. Like nobody would even want to touch you. You might as well have leprosy. As far as the feelings you're having, what other people consider towards you. See, I've been told all my life I've got an unlikable personality. When that attack would hit me in the past, my reaction would be, so what? I'm going on with God. It was me and God before I got in the body of Christ. It'll be me and God now. But the problem is, that's the wrong answer. You gotta be in covenant. You gotta stay in unity.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now some people have never had that attitude. I've lived in 5 different states. 5 or 6. 5, I believe. And there's something that comes along when you live in several different states. One is everywhere you move, you're an outsider.
That's right. Amen.
Military kids get that.
That's right.
Or people have moved, like, father's a salesman or something. And so you move and you're the one that talks funny. And so there's a rejection that comes with being new. And there's a hardening that comes with being used to being rejected. And so some people can stand this attack longer than others. But some people, rejection hits real hard. People. See, I've never been a people person. I've been an accomplishment person. I've been an information person. I've been one, what's the truth say? You know, what's the truth in this situation? Don't matter who it affects. Some people are people. Did that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And they are highly concerned with others' feelings towards them. And I believe this is the attack. This is the one that the attack affects the most as far as the pain. With an independent person like I always was, it may be the most effective because it tends to separate that person. They're used to being independent. It just drives them back to their independence. And so it's effective from that direction. But with an individual that takes great strength from the opinions and the interaction with others, it is a horrific pain involved in this attack. That's why I believe when women get hit with this, it's probably a greater hit than it is with most men. It's so painful. I have counseled several people getting hit with this. Several people. But rarely, well, on occasion, a guy would come and say and describe the symptoms. This is what I feel. And maybe a tear coming down the corner of his eye because of the pain. But I've had women in literally despair because women seem more concerned in personal interaction than most men. But the attack is effective either way. You feel as a bird, right? A rejected animal. Verse 8, mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. There's a despair that's tied to isolation. A hopelessness wants to come in. Two of the things it does is, one, isolation will act to keep you out of the Word. You can't focus on it. You can't even sit and read the Word effectively because the pain is always before your face. Because your mind is being so bombarded that you can't even focus on the Word. As well, this isolation wants to keep you from the very ones that can set you free.
Amen. Yeah.
See, when we talk about his weak spot, you'll find out you got to go to other people.
Amen.
And isolation's only hope is it'll keep you from the ones that can set you free. Well, let's look at reactions with regard to this devil. Reactions of isolation. Pain, pain, and more pain in your emotions. And many times that pain is more fierce than a physical pain. Now, I've had migraines in the past, and I don't know of anything emotionally I've been in to touch a migraine, but this approaches. Because both of them leave you incapacitated. One of them you may can sit and cry, the other you sit and cry with your head pounding. Either way, the effect is the same. I want to touch on this again. Once I went through an attack of isolation, and I recognized, once I'd been through it and got delivered from it, I then the next time recognized the symptoms. Once you've had a migraine, next time you get it, you go, oh yeah, that's a migraine. And so once I'd gotten hit with it, the next time it hit me, I recognized the symptoms. Oh yeah, this is that isolation devil. The problem is recognition isn't enough. You say, oh yeah, this is that isolation devil. I'll just get with God and I'll pray this thing off. Well, you may and you may not. I don't know that I ever have. You say, well, this is that isolation devil. I'll just ignore it. I know it's not true. It'll go away. See, it comes and tells you nobody likes you. They all hate you. They know that you're a flop. And so you're hearing this voice and you say, and you look at the person and you say, they hate me? That's crazy. I know they have to love me. I know that they're a covenant individual. I know that their heart's right towards God. My heart's right towards God. They love me. And yet the devil says, no, they hate you. And you say, well, I know that's a lie. That's a stupid lie. Satan, I know that's you. You're lying to me about my covenant brothers and sisters, and I don't receive it. And you say, well, I'll just ignore it. And it keeps hammering. They don't like you. They hate you. They despise you. Look at them talking against you. And that attack is such a hammering. It's like the, what was it, the Anison headache they used to have 30 years ago. It's before some people's time. Remember when they had that little hammer? If you didn't have a headache before you saw the commercial, you did afterwards. And so this thing is just pounding away, battering, ramming away at your emotions and at your mind. And you know it's a lie. You're saying, I know it's a lie, devil, but it keeps pounding. You know it. You're confessing, I know it's a lie. But your emotions are saying, no, it's not. Everything in you, as far as your carnal self, is saying, it's true. But your mind and the Holy Ghost say, no, it's a lie, it's a lie. But it keeps hammering. And the pain is so real that if you don't address it, even though you know it's a lie, it'll take you out.
That's right.
I've talked to people that have been taken out, and they knew it was a lie. But they couldn't take it anymore. They went down to the church on the corner because when they walked in there, they had peace. Of course they did. The division already did its job. He's going on to somebody else. Amen? And so even though you know it's a lie, doesn't mean you're free from the problem. Just because the Bible says by His stripes you were healed and a flu symptom hit you, and you say, no, devil, this symptom is a lie. I don't receive it. Don't mean it's gone. There's steps you have to take to see it eradicated. The symptom is a lie. Sickness has no place in your body, but isolation has no place in your mind. And you knowing it's a lie doesn't mean you're free from it. You got to get delivered from it. Hallelujah. You got to get separated from that thing. Your emotions at this time are so affected you don't dare lean on them. Now, we're people of faith. We don't lean on our emotions anyway. But especially at this time. You know, you get in such despair, you're willing to grab for anything. And so you make the decision, well, I'll just go try this church down the corner. And you walk in and you got relief. Well, you depended on your emotions. Well, maybe another city. I got a job offer in another city. Maybe if I go up there, things will be better. Maybe they'll like me up there. Yeah, they will unless you get in a revival church. Then He's going to come and see you again. And you'll go to another city and another city until you find a nice lukewarm church somewhere where you can just rest at ease and go back into the world. The tendency under isolation is to react emotionally and say things like, I'll just move and get a fresh start. I'll just move. Anybody ever had that one? Some of you here tonight are because the devil would run you off somewhere else. That's the truth. If you give in to that spirit of isolation, say, well, I'll just move. I'll just run. The devil's got your number. And what? Now get this. Key point. In fact, this is going to illuminate some other areas in your life. If you give in to that spirit and say, I'll just move, He's got your number. And what used to be just an attack of isolation becomes a familiar spirit of isolation. And it's true with any attack. You give in to migraine headaches. What used to be just an attack of migraine becomes a familiar spirit of migraine. He'll take you out with one anytime he wants to. Or the flu. Or an asthma attack. Whatever it might be. You can go from attack to having a familiar spirit. The second tendency of isolation. Well, I'll just sit in this corner away from everybody else. I'll just sit back here away from everybody else. They don't want me anyway. And I know I got to be in church. And I know this is the church I'm supposed to be in. I'll just separate myself from everybody else in the sanctuary. That won't work. Especially in this church, because we recognize people trying to separate themselves and won't allow it. Another reaction? I'll just find a job at the church where I don't have to interact with anybody. I'll just be the one that cleans out the gutters. Or I'll be the one that shampoos the chairs. I can do that at 2 a.m. when nobody's there and they won't have to put up with me. I know I'm supposed to help out at the church, but I don't want to be in a position where I would disrupt the flow of everybody else's day. So I'll just remove myself from the soup kitchen or from the worship team, and I'll find a job where it's just me and God, and I can do my duty to God, and things can go on. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
The next one. I think if those don't work, and they won't, I'll just worship at home. I'll turn on the TV and have church at home, me and Kenneth Copeland. I'll just be me. I won't cause them any trouble at church. That way I can just worship God by myself. And it's not like I'm not in church. I'm watching it on the TV. And so you keep finding ways to separate yourself until finally the devil says, and if you're not careful, you can get in agreement with it, I think I'll just kill myself. You've tried every other means of escape. None of them have worked. I'll just kill myself. See, these are things that you think only the drug world would say. These are ones that you think somebody, well, they've been on cocaine for 40 years. Or can't get off the alcohol, and they've tried all the 12-step programs, and they've lost all their money and everything. That they're the ones that would start thinking about, woe is me. But when Satan finds one that works, he goes with it whether it's in the church or out of the church. Do you know a lot of Christians kill themselves? A lot of Christians kill themselves. You say, well, they weren't really Christians. Well, does that mean that somebody died of cancer? He wasn't a Christian?
Come on. Come on.
If you can get sick in the body, can't you get sick in the head?
Amen.
If your physical body can be attacked and take you out, could not your soul realm, your mental capacities be attacked and take you out?
Yes.
Just because you have an emotional attack that removes you from this earthly realm, does that mean your born again spirit was never born again? Not at all. I don't believe that lie. Maybe it'll put some people at ease too that maybe have known somebody that's committed suicide. God may have already touched their life. Amen. And the devil took them out through an attack. He's been known to do that in the past. And I have found out that this is such a painful attack, you don't want to walk with it very long. I don't know the longest, maybe a few weeks I've been under that attack, 2 or 3 weeks. Before I found out how to get free or that it was even an attack. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine walking in Grace Fellowship for 2 or 3 weeks and thinking nobody liked you? I mean, as loving it as a group of people this is. Nobody likes you. They don't want you there. But yet it comes and it's so real feeling. And so you got to get free of it. As ridiculous as it sounds, it'll try to hit you. And if you don't get free, you'll leave. Isolation's weak spot. Are you ready? Isolation's weak spot is somebody else praying for you. I've tried to pray myself out of it. I don't know that I ever have. I might have. I've been hit with it several times years ago. And there might have been times that I recognized it and it went in prayer and went in worship and broke it off. But I don't know. But I do know this. Every single time I went to somebody and said, will you pray with me on this, it's immediately broken. I'm not talking about I had to wait another week and it lifted. I'm talking about it was immediately broken. He's got a soft spot on his forehead. And if you discover what it is, he has no place in your life. That's why he'll only mess with you a couple times. Once you recognize the symptoms and it's on you, and you run to the person and say, will you pray for me? Especially if he's targeting one individual who doesn't like you. I went to Apostle Callahan in the past and say, Pastor, is there anything between me and you? Is there anything I've done? The devil's telling me this. I don't believe it, but I got to know. He'll say, that's the most ludicrous thing I ever heard. Of course there's not. And say, Pastor, would you pray with me? And boom, that thing be broken. I haven't had to go to Pastor Callahan in the past. You can go to anybody. It can't stand in the face of just a prayer of agreement. It's immediately gone. It is more powerful, now get this, it is more vicious, more vile, and more painful than probably any attack I've ever been under. But it's also weaker than any attack I've ever been under, if you know the weak spot.
Amen.
If you know the weak spot. Aren't you glad you don't have to, by trial and error, find out his weakness?
Yeah.
Now you know where to hit him. The key is you've got to first recognize the attack, that it is indeed a false attack, and not that everybody don't like you. See, if you're here tonight and you're thinking that nobody likes you, then you're under that attack. It's a lie. That is not true. But it's so real that a lot of times you hesitate to come up and ask somebody to pray for you. And that very pain of the attack is what will keep you, if you're not set on getting free, will keep you from getting the very liberty that you need. Amen. Let's go a little further. If you're hit with this, the solution is run to the altar. Run to a friend. Don't take your time. Why sleep with the frogs one more night?
Amen.
Run to anyone and tell them what's going on. Say, look, I feel like nobody likes me. I feel like I'm rejected. Say, will you pray with me? And it'll be a done deal. Don't go and say, I feel like this. I feel like nobody likes me, and go on home. Get prayed for.
Amen.
And I personally think it's important that you ask for the prayer. Don't go around fishing for a prayer. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I just feel this way and I feel that way. You know, and stand around a little bit and they don't say, well, I pray with you, you go on home. Make an effort to be aggressive against this attack and go up to them and say, would you pray for me? And sometimes that pain is so strong, you feel such a separation, such a division, that the pain is so strong, it hurts even to ask the individual. I mean, it's a painful thing. For example, if I thought Fantley just knew it was so real, hammering against me, that he hated me, and for me to have to go and ask for him to pray for me, it takes a humbling of yourself.
Yeah.
Amen? But if you want to be free, you'll do it. And after it's gone, all of a sudden it's like you're into a new realm of clarity.
Yes.
And you think, what a stupid idea. What a stupid thing. I can't believe I was falling for that.
Amen.
And you want to kick yourself for even receiving it for a second. But the attack is so strong that you can't help it. Knowing you're in a covenant body disarms this demon, because you can always go to those around you. See, in a normal church, if this was to hit you, who would you go to? Why, you'd go to somebody and say, you know, I feel like nobody likes me in this body, and it'd be in next week's bulletin. Everyone pray for Sister So-and-so. She thinks nobody likes her in the body. Well, doesn't that just help the situation? You don't have to worry about that in the covenant body. It'll not only not be in the bulletin, it'll not be spread.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 says, wherefore, putting away lying. In other words, putting away everything that's not speaking the truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, if you've got emotional disarray in your life, it says don't let the sun go down on it. If your emotions are doing flip-flops, whether you're angry or whether you're mad or whether you feel like everybody hates you, it says don't go anymore with that. It says give no place to the devil.
Right.
The next verse. So in other words, as long as you put up with this attack, you're giving place to the devil. Not only that, he's getting rooted stronger and stronger in you the longer you put up with it.
That's right.
You're getting more and more used to being just you.
Come on.
than just God. Getting more and more accustomed to being an independent individual. Did you know in the body of Christ there's no such thing as an independent individual?
That's right.
Oh, there's people that are outspoken. Praise God. We need it. There's people that are focused on their assignment. Praise God. But they're not independent.
That's right.
You're not separate from the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But Satan would try to get that isolation in there where he would create us all as independent people coming to a common building versus a common body wherever we go. Psalm 68. Let's just look at what God does. Let's start at verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. Let me say that again. God sets the solitary in families. God's not into solitude.
Amen.
Oh, this stuff where somebody wants to take on a vow of separation unto God. And it's just them and nobody else. That's plumb stupid and unscriptural. Oh, God may tell you to separate yourself for a matter of a few days. But then get back into church. Are you with me? It says he sets the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. In other words, if you're in the bondage of being solitary, God brings you out into a family. And it says, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. In other words, those that will stay solitary, that are rebellious to becoming in the family, it's dry. It's barren. You're not going to have church at home and think the anointing is going to fill your house. Patty and I, when we first got saved, we didn't find a church we liked right away. I think it was my idea. I said, well, let's just have church at home. Me and you will turn on the TV and watch some church service from the bed. We'll just sit in the bed and we'll watch church service. That'll be our church for today. I don't recall any glory showing up at that time, do you? I don't remember any of us getting up out of bed and we couldn't walk because we were about to go out in the Holy Ghost. No. God brings the solitary into families. God wants you in the church. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, get this now, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved.
Yes.
If you are born again, you are accepted in the Beloved. Well, I just don't think they like me. You are accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
Say, well, I just don't get along with that person. Could be, but you are accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
If somebody don't like me, then they're the one probably not in the Beloved. If somebody don't like you, they're the problems having trouble being in the Beloved.
Amen.
But the Word of God says if you're born again, you are accepted in the Beloved.
Yes.
That the body of Christ loves you and accepts you. I spoke to an individual several years ago, and he was telling me that he could have been rejected all his life. And he'd get in and he could not believe that anybody really liked him. He'd be in a group of people. Maybe be 20 people in the room, and they're all just having fun, just enjoying God and fellowshipping, be it at some kind of meeting or dinner or something. And although he'd be in the midst of all these people, he'd feel totally alone, totally isolated. Might have people on there, totally surrounding him. He'd feel like he was by himself until he got a hold of this verse that says he was accepted in the Beloved. And he got a hold of that and started speaking that over his life. Started where he says, God, it says there I'm accepted. It says they like me.
Amen.
And that thing broke off of his life as he put that verse into place.
Amen.
See, the Word of God is that sharp two-edged sword. And them devils that would separate you from the fellowship of the Father can't stand before the Word of the Spirit.
Amen.
Sword of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. This one is one that I use a lot when I'm witnessing. Let's go ahead and read it first. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching, as Jesus Christ is coming as Jesus Christ coming is closer and closer, I believe this isolation is going to attack harder and harder. Try to take more and more people out. Because it's going to try to get them out of the church, out of the forsaking of themselves together, out of the unity of covenant. But one I use all the time, it seems like when I'm witnessing, I'll be talking to somebody and they'll call themselves a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. I say, oh, what church do you go to? Well, I really don't go to church. Give me a break. You're a rebellious Christian if you're a Christian and you're out of the will of God. And so I use that verse. I have trouble cutting slack to somebody that wants to call himself a Christian and doesn't go to church. There may be some situations. I'm open to the Holy Ghost speaking to me. This is a special case. But by and large, I don't know if I've ever met one. If you're not in church, you're in rebellion. You've given way to isolation. And so what you need to know is when this thing hits you, go to church. The first thing he'll tell you is they don't like you, don't go. There's people not there. There are people not here tonight, probably because this devil has hit them. Amen. And I know there's people not in this body now that used to be because this devil's hit them. Because yeah. I know how fierce it is and I know how hard it tries to sever. And so what you got to do is if you're going to survive this attack, forsake not the going to church. Get in church and run to the altar.